what we just have to call Thomas Drantz erotica. Thomas Drantz erotica.
Of course.
Thomas Drantz erotica.
Expected goals.
Thomas Drantz erotica.
Dog model.
Thomas Drantz erotica.
Regression.
Thomas Drantz erotica.
PDO.
Thomas Drantz erotica.
On a Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
Did you wait for the clock to turn over?
I did.
Just say 8:01.
I did.
Just say 8 o'clock.
But it was almost 8:01.
Oh.
We are nothing if not accurate on this show, Gregory.
We're not accurate.
It'll be 8:01 in 3, 2, 1.
I have done that before. It's called filibustering.
Now coming up on 8:02.
A couple times at 10:40 during the pandemic, I just counted down the clock. We got 3.5 minutes till Trudeau starts talking. Now,
so best show ever.
It was good.
That was fun.
And we're going to get
that?
Through this.
Oh, I remember it.
Together.
We used to throw.
You know, he was wrong about that. We didn't all get through the pandemic together.
What's the opposite
remember
of what?
Remember the clapping that lasted a month? Yeah. Went away?
The clapping, yes. The pots outside.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very short lived.
Very short lived.
And then people started fighting with the health professionals.
Yeah, yeah. It was a good turn.
Went down.
It was a good turn. That's okay. They did their own research. 8:02 on a Thursday. You are listening to the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience a Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. We are in hour three of the program. Thomas Drantz is going to join us in just a moment here to kick off hour three. Hour three is brought to you by Campbell and Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell and Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today.
We are coming to you live from the Kintec studio, Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for?
Kintec, that's what you're waiting for. To the phone lines we go. He joins us live from Nashville, Thomas Drantz, here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Drantzer?
Gentlemen, good morning.
What's the vibe like in Nashville? Because I will remind everybody, it is NFL draft day today, and that's kind of a big deal, especially in a place that has an NFL team like Nashville.
Yeah, I you know what? I got in at midnight because I did Canucks talk yesterday, flew out after. So I've basically been in my hotel room since I got here 10 hours ago. But I'm confident there'll be a lot of televisions tuned excitedly to the NFL draft, waiting to see who the Titans take at 7, or do they move up or down, and does Bo Callahan end up in Seattle?
It's a stupid movie that doesn't make sense. Anyway, I'm done.
It's really, really bad. But also, I'm probably going to watch it at some point this afternoon. Canucks are going to practice at 1:30 out at the Ford Center, which is 20 minutes outside town. Which is too bad because I picked the hotel that I stay at in Nashville based off of where the Preds practice facility is. A 5-minute walk away, I'll mosey over to Preds practice. I think I'm going to be unable to make Canucks practice, but that's why I have Harmon. That's why I have Harmon on the road. He'll go. I'm really curious to see if the Canucks switch anything up after that Game 2 loss. You could understand if they didn't, given the way that they were able to press in the latter half of the game. Definitely some good stuff, but yeah, really curious to see what the series looks like as it transitions to Smashville.
We won't know if there's going to be any lineup changes until tomorrow, but we might get a clue at practice. But what do you think the Canucks have been talking about since Game 2?
I think it's got to be finding a third line. Like, just finding a third line that you can roll in this series. And, you know, that DiGiuseppe, Mikheyev, Bluger fourth line looked pretty good in Game 1, but they went away from it when they bumped Mikheyev up the lineup in Game 2. And, you know, it's no secret here, but the Canucks' sort of ostensible second line with Hoglander, Pettersson, and rotating cast of bottom six winger. That's been sort of an issue. Like, they've really struggled to get the sort of heavy shifts they've gotten out of the Lindholm line and they've gotten out of the Miller line from a third line that's a real threat to score in this series. The sort of counter to that too is that a lot of the Predators' offense, a lot of the Predators' most dangerous moments have come with Colton Sissons on the line, and they sort of switch up his line mates based on who's going. Mm-hmm. At least that's how they did it in game one and game two, right? Game two, Anthony Beauvillier plays up there because he was going. Luke Evangelista played up there in game one because he was going. And the results on the Predators' side from that sort of mishmash middle six line have worked for them, right? They're comfortable rolling that McCarron line, that McCarron fourth line. They're going to start the game with them. The Canucks try to jump it with JT Miller, but to this point, Vancouver's top line hasn't done damage in that matchup, even if the territorial advantage has been pronounced. And then obviously the O'Reilly line has mostly just played like low event hockey, but had that game breaking moment with the game winner, Philip Forsberg, down low in game two. So to me, that's sort of the main dynamic here is right now it feels like Nashville's got three lines that they're pretty comfortable with and that have worked. And the Canucks, it just feels like have two. And so I think solving that issue, at least having those three lines you can roll and feel confident that you're going to have some ability to control the game in those minutes and some ability to threaten to score, to me, that's been kind of the issue for Vancouver in the early stages of this series.
I've been laughing over the last couple of days as I've heard all the ideas on how you beat the fronting strategy of the Nashville Predators because, some people are like, you just got to go north-south. You just got to get the puck on net. And then other people are like, more east-west. Open up those shooting lanes. And, it's kind of like...
Net intentionally.
Yeah. But you got to hit the net, And it just seems to be all this kind of contradictory advice. Rick Tocchet did hint that he did have some ideas on what to do, and he just wants his team to actually execute those ideas. Assuming that Andrew Brunette is not listening to this show right now, what do you think some of those ideas are? Because Rick Tocchet didn't want to publicly say them.
Yeah, he was playing a little bit close to the vest. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, the Canucks had some loose change in and around the crease from Saros off of deflections, off of rebounds, off of high-low passes, and the Predators were able to survive them, right? You think about the Dakota Joshua sequence, and Saros sort of aggressively challenges and makes the extra save, but Joshua's strong enough to kind of follow it, and it hits the post, but it's a stressful finish. Like, it's not an easy play, obviously, for Joshua, who's been so steady depositing those into the back of the net, and it just bounces against you,
Mm-hmm.
Pugh Suter had the one chance off a miss in the first period that we all saw. I think that was sort of a sneaky momentum preserving moment for the Predators in that first game, that big Saros save early. So that's sort of another example of a play that'll work. To some extent, I think the Canucks did a lot of what they had to do. And in that third period, especially of game two, it's just that, when you send 36 shots at the net and only six of them actually challenge Saros, it feels really unsatisfying, right? Like, it's one thing to get goalied. We all know what it looks like to get goalied. And in fact, I think a lot of people have been discussing this game as if the Canucks got goalied.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, oh, they were just kind of unlucky. They were dominant, but they were kind of unlucky. And it's like, if a goaltender is going to stop 50 shots against you in the playoffs, like, sometimes you're going to just have to tip your cap. But if Ryan McDonagh is going to stop 26, like, you got to figure something out. You've got to figure out a way to make their goalie.
He does have a big butt, though, that often gets in the way of shots.
It's a big butt, a massively underrated attribute in an NHL defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
The Canucks do need to figure out something. They don't want the frustration to persist, right? Because you can win the game within a game, within a series, as your opponent gets frustrated, even if your tactic is like only working because of luck. And I'd add this, you don't want to find yourself in the spot that like Pete DeBoer's Golden Knights did coming out of that series that they won over the Vancouver Canucks, where an opponent has put something on tape that you're going to deal with for years until you prove you can solve it. So those are kind of the stakes here for the Canucks, finding some offense, finding a way to the Predators' net, finding a way to actually generate shots and not just attempts in Game 3, Game 4, and going forward in the series.
You mentioned that the Canucks need to find another line. You know, is that most likely to be one with Pettersson on it?
I mean, potentially, but I just think you need another line. Like, you know, if we're... And I'm not saying we're 100% there yet, but if we're at a point where, whether it's because of confidence, whether it's because of, you know, the sort of attrition that comes over a long season and maybe being a little bit banged up, whatever it is, right? Maybe it's a combination of factors. Whatever it is, if you're at a point where Pettersson's not going to drive for you and where... You know, it seems like he's looking at the heavens after misses, like where his confidence isn't where it usually is. Then I think you need to be careful going forward about using Pettersson the way we've seen in this series so far, which is, you know, he mixes and matches with different line mates. He plays all over the place. His line mates rotate. You know, like his is the most unsettled forward line. You know, the Predators, that's what the Predators are doing with Colton Sissons right now. And you know, that it's one thing when it's a guy like Colton Sissons who doesn't have the pressure on him to score. And, you know, if you just win the territorial matchup, you're happy with it. It's another thing to do it with like a key player who doesn't seem to be firing at 100%, you know, relative to their usual lofty standard. At some point you've got to like, and I think this is crucial. Like, I don't know how the Canucks frankly win this series without getting Pettersson going. Like, without getting Pettersson going, and does that mean getting Pettersson going to the point where he gets, like, 10 points across five games and the Canucks win? No, not necessarily, but you at least need that line to be an edge for you. You at least, you don't want to be in a point where I'm like, man, the Canucks need to contain the Colton Sissons line and get Pettersson going. Like, come on, that's not where we need, that's not, if that's the conversation after game three and game four, the Canucks are in trouble here.
Yeah.
So they need to find a way to get Pettersson going, and it just might be a situation where, you know, and this isn't, I'm not making excuses here. I'm just talking about, like, tactically, how do you get past this Predators team? You know, I do wonder if they need to just give Pettersson a little more help, let him fit in, let him have some consistency. You might have to be building him back up a little bit. And you know, more settled line mates, maybe line mates who can do a little more to drive play, seems to me to be something that could be called for. If the Pettersson line and Pettersson himself doesn't bounce back in game three.
What's an example of what they could do?
I certainly wonder about Joshua and Garland as sort of an option.
Those three have never played together, have they?
Like they haven't.
Yeah.
But we've seen them play with everybody else with pretty good results, right? I mean, if you want to give a center on this team some help driving play, like that winger duo does it very reliably, regardless of who you play them with. You know, I think if you move them up, if you moved Lindholm to the top line, right, sort of loaded up your top six, could you create a third line, something like Suter with Mikheyev and Hoglander, and then it becomes Suter, Bluger, Mikheyev when you're holding a lead?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, I think, eventually has to get considered, because as you go through a playoff series, right, like the Canucks have a lot of forwards under 20 minutes. I think five of Vancouver's 12 forwards have played less than 20 minutes in the series so far. Nashville only has three, right? Nashville's been able to roll lines sort of better than Vancouver has. And then that's kind of what you get to as these series go along, is like often you end up with like 9 or 10 forwards who are taking a regular shift. You know, the fact that the Canucks have like Nils Höglander as their low man in ice time, even though they've trailed for most of the two games, you know, that to me is sort of just an indication, just a window into the fact that right now Vancouver sort of has one middle six line. They seem comfortable rolling.
We're speaking to Thomas Drantz from The Athletic Vancouver, live boots on the ground in Nashville here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. I know the goaltending conversation, it's been done thoroughly in this market and on this station. Everyone's talked about it up, down, and left, right. So I'm trying to come up with a new way to approach it or a different way to approach it. So let's try this because I've gotten enough text into the Dunbar Lumber text message in basket about Arthur Shelov's. I'm going to also try and pronounce his name properly as a professional.
Nice.
What would it take for Shelov's to get a start in this series?
Oh, I don't think it's going to take a lot at this point.
Really?
I would think. Certainly, I think you're one bad game away from it being a real conversation, not a speculative conversation, but a real one.
Okay.
I think it's speculative off the back of game two because it's not a decision. You can't like cross the Rubicon and then go back.
Exactly.
You can't go away from a guy, and then if it doesn't work in game three, you're down 2-1.
Oh, that was a massive mistake. We'll go back to DeSmith.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And you've sort of shown your team and your first choice backup DeSmith a lack of confidence in his abilities. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think that's realistic to do this early. You know, once you're down 2-1, if you're down 2-1, you know, which I only say that because that's the only scenario under which this would be a discussion, right? You win, it's not, but you lose game three, it becomes one. Then, you know, I think you might want to look long and hard at the performance and sort of make a tough decision. You know, it's been pointed out that all three of Jim Rutherford's Stanley Cup wins have come with backups in net, and not just backups, like really, really young players, right? Cam Ward was 21. That was his age 21 season when he won the Conn Smythe. Matt Murray, it was his year 21 season. In fact, he wasn't even eligible for the Calder Trophy until the next year, right? So, it hasn't just been like backups. It's been extremely young goaltenders. And, you know, I do think there's probably a little bit more upside with Shelov's, but there's less experience and sort of there's less reliability, less consistency that we've seen over the course of this year. So, you know, I think in both, look, the Demko injury obviously puts the Canucks behind the eight ball in net in this series. There's no question about that. And, you know, I think it's pretty hard to backseat drive exactly how you handle it beyond sort of stating that I thought it was an obvious call that DeSmith would start game three. And I think from there, you're kind of living in a day-to-day world. you know, like, I really do think it's one of those things where you take it kind of game by game here. Given that at some point, if this team does need a shot in the arm, at some point, if you feel like you need to break glass in case of emergency, you know, the sort of younger, bigger, higher upside option is absolutely one you may have to consider, whether it's game three, game four, game five here, if the Canucks don't get the sort of goaltending that permits them to win, or even if they do and they're not winning, just to change momentum in the series.
Drantzer, thank you very much for doing this today. We really appreciate it. Enjoy practice today. And here's a little nugget for you for the draft in Nashville. It's been rumored. We talked to Robbie Stanley about this yesterday.
Yeah.
It's been rumored that the Tennessee Titans are going to take an offensive tackle.
Joe Alt.
You know, his brother was former NHL player Mark Alt.
I didn't. I knew that he had an athletic family.
Yeah. His brother played.
He's like 6'9".
His brother played 20 NHL games for the Avs and the Flyers. So there you go.
Can you imagine if that guy had become an NHL defenseman? He's like the American Zdeno Chara. 6'9", 330 pounds.
6'8", 322. There's a guy.
No, I want him to play at that weight.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Well, look, it's a big day for me. I've got some really old JC Latham to be the first non-QB selected futures and it feels like it's coming up my way. So
okay, before we get to your prop bets, we're gonna have to say goodbye to you. Yeah. Thomas Drantz. All right, take care. All right, enjoy Nashville. Take care. Bye, Drantz. See you later. Okay, bye.
Thomas Drantz from the Athletic Vancouver, the king of the micro bets that nobody cares about, here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Okay, I'm gonna kick off what we learns right now. I have a what we learned. It's hot off the presses. We just learned it within the last hour, and there's a real local angle to it, Jason. You know that tiny little football club in Wales that plays in the English Football League owned by Ryan Reynolds, known as Wrexham AFC?
They just got promoted, didn't they?
They did.
Where did they get promoted to?
They're in League One.
Which is what league?
The third division.
The third division, right.
But it's higher than League Two, but lower than the Championship. Now, the Championship is lower than the Premier League.
The Championship sounds like it should be the first division, but so does, you know, League One.
But that's the third division. Okay. And the Championship, you know what, I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Wrexham, ladies and gentlemen, is coming to BC Place. That's right. The Vancouver Whitecaps on July 27th are set to host Wrexham as part of Wrexham's three North American city tour this summer. It's called the 2024 Rex Coast Tour. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's on the West Coast.
I got it, yeah.
But Rex is the first part of Wrexham.
Where else are they going?
They are going to California. They're going to take on Bournemouth in Santa Barbara, and then they're going to take on Chelsea in Santa Clara.
They're going to play Chelsea?
Yeah.
Wow.
They did this last year, too. I think they played Man United at, I'm going to say the name wrong, but I'm going to go with it anyway, Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego?
No, that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. So this is the second year that, obviously, Wrexham is a very, very popular club in North America. There's many supporters clubs in North America now.
For Wrexham?
Yeah, including Philadelphia, because Rob McElhinney is a god in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a big Wrexham supporters crew in Philly.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
Okay, so number one, not to be a downer here, but what would be the attraction of going and watching the Whitecaps play Wrexham? Like, they're still like a third division team, right? That Ryan Reynolds might be walking around and doing some stuff.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be fairly competitive because it's not going to be like a Premier League team that comes on these North American summer tours and plays like the 18-year-old academy kids. It's Wrexham. I mean, every match matters. They're still in the business of making money because it's not a huge club. I think it'll be a competitive match.
Yeah,
there's a novelty aspect to it for sure. I mean, Ryan Reynolds, I would be stunned if he wasn't
there.
Oh,
he'd be there, obviously. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I think that
Is it almost like being part of their story, too? Like, you could say, like, I watch those guys.
Yeah,
like,
I watched
the documentary, and now I'm going to go watch those guys. Which brings me to my second question.
Yes.
How high can Wrexham go?
Well, the sky's the limit at this point, because it seems like every year they continue to get promoted. Now, the jump to the Championship is a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
But going through league football is not easy. But the Championship is where you get clubs that were, again, recently in the top flight of English football.
Oh, they're going to be in a few. They're going to be in a division with a few teams that might have been in the top flight a few years ago.
Sheffield United now officially on their way down. Right.
Okay.
Like, they could be there for a while. Mm. You could catch up against one of those yo-yo clubs that has a 20,000-seat ground and is a big club that spends way more money than you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way that they've invested capital into Wrexham, and because they've been able to turn it into such a marketing machine and make a lot of money off it, that's all it really comes down to.
Wouldn't that be incredible?
Yeah.
If they got up to the Championship.
Others have tried.
But, yeah.
So,
but not with this type of documentary feel to it.
Less famously, there was a team called Salford City.
Okay.
And they were in like the seventh.
Salford City?
Salford, S-A-L, like Alford with an S.
Right. Ooh,
Salford, S-A-L-F-O-R-D.
I don't want to be from Salford City.
All right, please stop talking. That was owned by...
can anyone smell that?
Yeah. David Beckham, Ryan Giggs.
You ignore it after a while.
Nicky Butt, Paul Scholes, all the Manchester United schoolboys, the Nevilles.
Don't let A-Dog hear about Nicky Butt.
Yeah, there was a player named Nicky Butt.
Really?
Yeah.
But
anyway, they tried this and they had some success with it, but it is incredibly difficult because you have to invest so much money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people truly understand. You're not starting from scratch like an NHL expansion team like Vegas or Seattle.
But I do wonder if Ryan Reynolds could bring in additional investors.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's the end game.
But right. What is their stadium situation? I know they were doing some work there.
The higher you get, the more you have to invest into your ground. And then at a certain point, it's like, we need to stop renovating this and build a new one.
Just build a new one, yeah.
Right. Because, for example, Luton, who kind of surprisingly went up this year, they play at Kenilworth Road, which is, I mean, basically a bunch of shipping containers jammed together to make a stadium. I'm making fun of, but it's an old, tattered ground. And they needed to get it Premier League ready. They needed to put somewhere in the neighborhood of like 10 or 12 million in.
Are they going
to
stay up?
They are on the cusp.
Okay.
It's still to be. The only one that's officially down right now is Sheffield.
Okay.
But
are they in the bottom three?
Yeah. They're in the relegation zone. Things are up for grabs. I think Burnley's still within spitting distance of it. I'd have to go back and check.
Nottingham Forest is probably in there too.
I don't need to look at the bottom of the Premier League standings anymore because Leeds is now in the championship. So
right. Yeah. Okay.
I don't look at the bottom anymore.
No, yeah. I got you. Anyway, okay. Give us a moo cow on that.
What a fun and eclectic and diverse sporting show we've had today. We will continue it coming up next with What We Learned, but we'll give it a Canuck feel because the best What We Learned, remember, hashtag it WWL and put a ticket emoji into your text. You will win a pair of tickets to Rogers Arena on Friday to see the Canucks and the Preds in a watch party from Rogers for Game 3. Finally, before we go to break, I need to tell you that all Canucks coverage on this station and this show is brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Get your keys to an all-star collection of Kubota products. Ooh, Kubota products. At one of their 6 locations across BC this spring. Visit them on the internet at dleamc.com. Final half hour of the program coming up. It is What We Learn time. You're listening to the Halford and Breath Show on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Vic Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets. Weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now for my favorite part of the show. What did I say? Talk to the audience. Oh, God, this is always dead.
It's What We Learn time. It's What We Learn time. It's What We Learn time. On the show.
8:32 on a Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the Dulari family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dulari difference today by visiting your nearest Dulari Acura dealer today. We are in hour 3 of the program. It is What We Learn time. Hour 3 is brought to you by Campbell and Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell and Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today. Okay. We have some business to attend to. Before we announce the winner of a pair of tickets to the Canucks watch party on Friday, Laddie and Jason have What We Learned. We're going to start with Laddie. Laddie said he's been sitting on this one almost the entire week, so yeah. I'm really excited. Yesterday's was pretty good. The Jim Rutherford Trophy for the best goal in the Ontario Hockey League, originally won by Rick Tabarachi. Now, what else did you learn, Laddie?
Well, this one takes us back to Ontario again, and I came across my desk earlier in the week. Peter McCallion.
He's the
son of Hazel McCallion, the former mayor of Mississauga. She was the mayor till she was like 100 years old. Very famous woman. He is also running for mayor of Mississauga now. He's decided to throw his hat in the ring. And his platform is built on bringing an NHL team to Mississauga. We've heard it before, you know, another team in the Toronto area. And he showed that he did a lot of research for this project and his campaign to become the mayor by suggesting they name the team the Mississauga Hurricanes. There is already an NHL team named the named the Hurricanes, not Mississauga. But yeah, it's
this is a tribute
clearly
to his mother because her nickname as a politician was Hurricane.
Correct.
Hazel.
It's I've been told, I don't know much about Peter McCallion, but he has a bit of a Buster Bluthy kind of vibe to him.
No way.
And this is his big campaign that he wants the Hurricanes, not the Carolina ones, to have an NHL team in Mississauga.
I mean, if this doesn't work, he's got all the markings of a guy that can run for office in Surrey.
I wonder what the Leafs would think of that idea.
Well, that's the other thing, too, to show that he did great research for this.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
fact that the Leafs have complete veto to any team in the, I think, 50-kilometer radius.
I wonder if there ever will be a second team in Toronto, though, with all seriousness, because you could pay the Leafs a large amount of money and still put that team in there, right? Like, if you gave the Leafs, if you gave MLSE, I don't know, $1 billion, would they say yes to it?
A billion?
Yeah.
Well, I think it would be more so like a cut of your profits for a certain number of years.
I don't think it would be that. Because then it would be like, I don't know, that would just be misaligned.
But the team would just be another Toronto team. Like, it would be the two New York, there's the Islanders and the New York
Islanders. I don't know what it'd be called.
Well, you can't, the Mississauga. Everyone's going to be like, what's that?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know where Mississauga is?
I know where Mississauga is.
Why can't you use the name?
Because it's too small.
NLL has a team called Panther City.
Yeah, but it's the NLL.
Yeah, come on.
Come on.
I mean, the only comparable would be like Anaheim. Like Anaheim's basically Los Angeles, right?
They should just call them the Los Angeles Ducks.
Yeah.
Right? I get what you're trying to do. Mississauga is too small.
Mm-hmm.
It's too rinky-dink. All due respect to Mississauga, even though that was highly disrespectful.
You know, saying all due respect to doesn't make it not disrespectful, right?
That rinky-dink town.
Yeah.
The fact that this guy is a mayoral candidate and this is his platform, which he clearly put 5 seconds of thought into, and it's being picked up by, like, this is the thing. It's being picked up as like, oh, look at this cute little thing that's happening. This is like one of those
little pucks made up and everything. Yeah, it has
like, this is a Mike McArdle story, basically, right? Like, this guy could be at the pond feeding ducks and then trying to run for mayor of Mississauga, right?
What would we run on if we had to?
Bringing a second NHL team.
That's all you guys know.
Absolutely, we would.
Mook Almy. Or you, I guess. Okay, Bruff, go.
I learned, this is a golf one, I learned that Tiger Woods and other star golfers are set to cash in for staying loyal to the PGA Tour. This story is up on sportsnet.ca, and it cites a report by the Telegraph newspaper. Tiger Woods is going to receive up to $100 million in equity, with Rory McIlroy receiving up to $50 million for not joining the LIV Tour. So the money is coming from Strategic Sports Group, which is made up of all those rich team owners in North America. They put together a $1.5 billion into PGA Tour Enterprises, a new for-profit company. We still don't know, though, like what that company is going to do.
This whole thing has gotten so lame. Mm-hmm. In such a hurry, because for a while
it was interesting.
It was interesting because it felt like there was some authenticity to guys fighting for like the history and the prestige and the honor of what the PGA Tour represented. But it very quickly just became about all anyone cared about was who could give them more money. So now the only thing keeping Tiger and Rory around apparently is more money. The only reason John Rahm left for LIV, and his excuses or reasons for otherwise are comical, was the biggest bag of money.
Do all these golfers owe Phil Mickelson?
I guess. Like he's made a ton of money. Yeah, he gambled a lot of it away, but he's made a ton of money.
But he kind of started all this, right?
I know.
It was his decision to go with the Saudis and Greg Norman that kind of kicked all this off, because they were after Tiger, and I'm sure they were after Rory to do it as well, and those guys said no. And Phil, you remember the famous quote was basically, yeah, the Saudis, they do awful things. Right. It's terrible what they do. Money.
Yeah.
You know, now, right?
I will give Phil credit because he took the extra step and leaned into it like caricature style.
Yeah.
He started showing up everywhere, looked like he hadn't slept in 4 days and wearing a black jacket
with stubble. He looked like Hulk Hogan when he went NWO.
Yeah. Like all he needed was a black bandana and a skullet, and he would have been like, all right, I've completed the move. So he did it. Right. But even that was only sort of moderately interesting. Like, this whole thing just feels so hollow and empty.
Yeah.
Like, even I always joke about, like, chase the money. Like, this is a bridge too far. Because let's not forget, all these guys have already made tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. The guys we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you know, Rory and Tiger can have like a money fight back and forth with one another. Like,
yeah, Alex Morello will come over and be like, can I play too? I made hundreds of millions of dollars for running the Arizona Coyotes into the ground.
And then they'll be like, no, your pile of money is too small. Like, it's not big enough. That's what it's come down to, honestly. And it makes me.
Morello will be like, I'll pay you back. Believe me, I will.
Yeah.
I don't believe you. All right, give us a moo cow on that.
All right, a dog, you are up. So we are giving away a pair of tickets to the Rogers Arena Canucks away game viewing party this Friday, that's tomorrow, 4:30. You can be in Rogers Arena with a bunch of other people cheering on the Canucks, watching the game on the Jumbotron. That's old school Jumbotron. I don't know if they call it that anymore. Your ticket also includes a VIP skate from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. and club seats in a special Rogers section that includes snacks, and refreshments. Andy, who won the tickets?
Nick. What we learned, the Canada conspiracy is alive and well in the NHL. Went to bed last night wondering if any Canadian team would make round two. Triple ticket emoji.
None of them are in a particularly comfortable position right now.
No. So Canada's on a four-game losing streak. Jets, Canucks, Leafs, Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I just put that together in my brain.
Good
in,
for you.
In my mind grapes. That was... someone's got to reverse this trend. This is not good.
Guys, I'm going to take a risk here. I'm going to take a career risk here, but it's for something that I believe in.
Okay.
Okay? Now, they say in media, never criticize a sponsor.
Okay.
I know where this is going.
Where is this going? I don't even know where this is going.
Boston Pizza?
I might
start avoiding you more so.
Yes, that is a
because
very...
they've got this new ad campaign.
It's very confusing.
Trying to convince Canadians to cheer for other NHL teams.
Yeah, it's all coming
or
together.
Or other
cheer
Canadian
collectively.
Teams, right? Yeah. Like the idea is Canada hasn't won a cup since 1993, so why don't we try something different and we all cheer for each other?
Mm.
I can't believe you did this.
Do you know what my theory is on that?
What?
The second round, they're going to flip it. It's going to be like, all right, that didn't work. Everyone,
now that would be awesome.
Other.
That would be hilarious.
Like, I hope this is. I get viscerally angry watching that commercial.
Do you think maybe they did that on purpose? Like, they discussed in their board meeting or whatever. And you know what? People probably aren't going to dig this a lot, but it will get a bunch of angry traffic because of it.
God, that's talking about
people
it.
People are already angry with our pasta.
How do we get them angry with our pizza?
Oh, it was a nice show we had.
Are we going to get in trouble for this?
Yes.
I just felt obviously.
Yes.
I just felt like I needed.
It's fine.
I felt like I needed to speak up because I've been the guy that has kind of cheerleaded the hate of other Canadian sports teams. And I've been the one that says, like, I don't want any Canadian team to win the Stanley Cup unless it's the Canucks.
We need someone from Boston Pizza on to explain themselves.
Well, I was going
to
say.
Honestly, I think
get
we
like
should.
Like a spokesperson on.
Yeah. Like,
please explain this.
Like, you know, like, look, there's no such thing as bad publicity, right? I don't believe that saying, by the way. But,
no,
you know, we're talking about Boston Pizza right now. We're talking about their ad campaign.
That's what I'm saying.
I just, like, I watched that and I was like, what? This is terrible. And I'm just wondering how many other people. Watch that and either liked it or were rubbed the wrong way like I was.
Jim Tree Living is going to personally show up to fire us. I think that's how this ends.
I just watched it for the first time waiting for like the record scratch. I mean like, just kidding, but it never happened.
Well, I mean, what you said, Laddie, would be funny though. Like if round two comes along, the ad campaign changes, like, well, we apologize for that.
We've made a huge mistake. By the way, if you're going to eat pizza this playoffs, go to AJ's Pizza on East Broadway anyway. It's the best pizza in town. Buy
local.
Colin and Tawasin with what we learned. In addition to yesterday being National Scream Day, it was also International Noise Awareness Day. Don't those two kind of contradict each other?
Well, you're aware of the screams.
Yeah.
You can't silence them. Sometimes.
Well, then the International Noise Awareness Day, people come in and they're like, it's pretty loud, those screams.
Yeah. Guys, with the screaming.
Actually, International Noise Awareness Day might become my new holiday.
Sorry.
As I get older and older, I hate jarring sounds. Yeah, that just bothered me.
So, one, you're accurate. I was, you know where it's really bad? Is at an indoor pool, a cavernous indoor pool with the tile everywhere. And high ceilings.
Pools are loud, man.
Shrieking children.
Pools are
right?
So loud.
Yeah. It can do some damage to the old eardrums. Also,
rough at the watch party Sunday. Could you please turn the volume down just a little bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That goal horn's just a little too loud.
So,
yeah. Do you remember we had the Warriors game?
Yeah.
And we're like, could you turn the lacrosse game down a little bit? We're trying to talk.
There's a Canucks game on in the background here. You can't hear the volume.
Preps there in the corner. He's like, just a scooch. while it may have cost us our jobs in the long run, but let's be honest, we were never long for this job anyway, we have definitely become men of the people. Because it's almost in unison, the Halbro listeners, the Halbro Nation, all agreeing with you with the Boston Pizza commercials.
So, okay, good.
Yeah. So, I mean, you were right to... Mm-hmm. To pander to the people.
I'll be unemployed soon, too.
Right. Hey, you know, all of our listeners...
Boston Pizza hiring.
Yeah. Hey, everyone listening, remember that when we start up our own OnlyFans.
Three-putt Shane with what we learned. Vladdy is overrated. The Blue Jays should rebuild their core.
That came out of nowhere.
Jeez.
No, it actually came at 6 in the morning.
You warn me before you did something like that.
Oh, by the way, speaking of...
What is going to happen with Vladdy, though? Like, if the Jays had an opportunity to sign him to a long-term fair market deal right now, and they wouldn't have to come out of their shoes to do it, what would you say to that?
They would not do it.
Would you want them to do it?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah.
No, where would you even value him? Like, I don't even know where you would start.
Yeah.
I think this has all the hallmarks of a guy who leaves and then figures out his swing with his new team and becomes the 40 home run guy everyone thought he'd be.
Will some other team, like, how does it work in baseball? Will some other team...
Three strikes, you're out.
Give him, but the third strike, if you foul tip it, you're still...
Yeah. If they drop it, you can run
first. Not a
lot
of people know that.
Right, yeah, okay. But, like, will another team give him that money? Is he going to get paid eventually?
I think so.
Yeah.
Somebody will give it to him, but I think the Jays are very apprehensive from what they've seen. He still hits the ball so hard. That's the frustrating thing. It's literally just the angle that he hits it at. He's driving it into the ground consistently.
Hey, Greg, while I've got you, do you think you could fire up the dot matrix?
We forgot to do that.
Print out some of these humanoid submissions for what we learned. What we learned, humanoid edition, is brought to you by Get Fire Plan. Protect what matters most with comprehensive fire safety plans. Monthly audits and risk mitigation at $200 off. Visit them at getfireplan.com.
Oh, my God! We're having a fire!
Plan.
Unsigned text, so it's from Gary. It was an early what we learned.
So did we announce the winner? I can't remember. Yeah, yeah, we did. Yeah, okay.
Try and keep up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now that you've gotten
a lot of whack without the printout.
Now that our jobs are hanging in the balance, we should probably try and do a better job. Hashtag WWE, what we learned from Gary. With all of the incredible success and discussion points surrounding the playoff, or not bound, but playoff in Vancouver Canucks, I just learned that the NFL draft is tonight. In previous years, there would have been hours of draft coverage on local sports radio. Yeah, I'll tell you what, we did about 15 to 17 minutes of draft coverage this morning, and I can safely guarantee you that will be the only draft coverage you're going to get on Sportsnet 650 today. I feel like no one else is going to go there. Now, maybe Bick and Dom will surprise us later in the day.
Oh, Bick will.
Didn't at some point, weren't they doing like a full mock draft on the station for the NFL?
They were.
How were the ratings for that one?
You could have just left it. They did. Now at 26, Jacksonville taking another offensive lineman.
I really like this pick for Tennessee, but it's not even the real pick.
Yeah, right. I don't even care when Tennessee makes its actual pick. I don't need some guy from Vancouver guessing at it. Anyway, you know what? I should take that back. Maybe the other shows will. I just don't think they will. I listened to the station quite a bit over the last couple days just to see what other people are saying and whatever.
Very nice.
Felt like a change of pace that I should try. And it's we are dialed in to the Canucks, folks. Like, Sportsnet 650 is your home of the Canucks, and I cannot state like how thorough a job everyone on this station is doing right now. So that, and to be fair, I don't even mind that we're putting the NFL draft, like, not even in the backseat. Like,
thank God.
It's in the trunk with your shopping bags, your reusable shopping bags. Like, it is, no one's talking about it because we have far more important things to talk about.
And to the good people at Boston Pizza, just congratulations on all your success.
Too late for that. Way too late for that.
What we learned from Tyler, the Canucks should trade Hronek to Toronto, re-sign Zadorov, and sign Tanev.
I've seen that bandied about a few times.
I mean, which would you rather? Would you rather have Hronek, and that's it,
at a high price point,
or Zadorov and Tanev?
Zadorov and Tanev, easily. Heartbeat, 100%.
I'm not sure. Yeah,
Wouldn't even think twice.
I
like Hronek.
I'm not sure you can get Hronek and Tanev for the price of whatever.
It was Zadorov and
Tanev. Or Zadorov and Tanev for the price of whatever Hronek would cost you. Do you?
Maybe.
Let's say, okay, what's the, let's
depends
say,
what Tanev is
let's say
going
to do. Eight, let's say Hronik's $8 million a year.
Let's say 7.5, just
let's
to keep
them. Let's say 7.5.
Yeah, okay.
You're not getting Zadorov and Tanev.
If you go long-term with Zadorov, you can, yeah, you might you're be not. Able to get that no. cap hit. $5 million? Sure.
And then what are you signing Tanev for, 2.5?
Yeah, you're like, you love it here.
That's great. Sort of
how badly do you want to be here?
What sort of world are we living in here? There's no way.
Well, what do you think Tano's going to get?
Four minimum? Four?
Yeah.
It could be more than Hronek, but at least you get two solid defensemen rather than just Hronek.
You know what would be interesting
to
know?
I don't think it works like that, though. I think they're going to make a lot of money.
Rebuild him in the aggregate.
You know what?
You
watch
Moneyball.
I know how. I just don't think it's logical or possible.
What's going to be interesting?
There's no Hatterberg out there.
Okay, can you just. What do you think the Canucks could get? Trading Hronek,
probably something comparable to what they paid.
No, in his situation with his contract demands, like isn't that a bit like the situation that they were in with Besser a few years ago? Remember, like when his offer sheet was, or sorry, his qualifying offer was so high, and they're kind of like,
so you okay? Hold on,
in a
let's
tough
walk
situation.
Through, hold on,
here,
hold on,
right?
Hold on. Let's walk through the steps here. You qualify him.
So if you
get him on a 1 year, and then you're like, now we're looking.
No. You trade him before all that. And you try and
like you're someone else's problem.
No. You trade them and say work out a contract.
Sure.
And then how much would you be willing? So it's basically you're saying like, so Hronik's kind of in control of this because he would be an RFA. So if some team wants to trade for him, but he doesn't want to sign with them, then they're like, okay, the trade's off. But how much would a team be willing to give the Canucks to sign Filip Hronek to a fairly large deal? I don't know if it would be all that much because they'd be like, we're already, this guy has big time leverage in negotiations. You know, like that's all I'm saying.
I know.
It's kind of one of those situations where this was always going to happen too if Hronek had a big year for the Canucks. And even if he's trailed off a little bit in the last little while, I think you can say like he's had a big year. And he's got a lot of leverage going into negotiations. He's a right shot defenseman. So not only would a team have to pay Hronek a pretty penny to sign him, the Canucks would also want something back. But how much would they be willing to give to do that?
That's a tough exercise to do in real time. I haven't dropped a real time in a while.
Yeah, Brandon, especially since it's you.
Brandon in Vancouver threw out Hronek for Marner, which I love.
Big playoff performer, that Mitch Marner.
Okay, we're up against it for time. Before we go, I need to tell you that playoff coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Sky Avenue Kitchen and Lounge. Discover Surrey's newest luxury dining experience. Experience the richness of a Canadian cuisine prepared by a Michelin-recommended chef. Ooh la la. Reserve your table today at skyavenue.com. We're out of here for today. We will be back tomorrow. And a reminder, if you want to go to the Halbro playoff watch party on Sunday, 2 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater. Visit them online at thehollywoodtheater.com. But all you got to do is show up. Just show up and have a good time. Those are the only requisites to hang out with us. Signing off for now, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Bruff. He's been A-Dog. He's been Laddie. This has been the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.